Robert, how old were you when you went into the Navy?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that for a long time. I was young. I was in my 30s.
And what made you decide to join?
I was invited by the government. They sent me a letter and they said, you know, would you like to join the U.S. Navy, or, you know, if not, you might end up in the armed forces, in the Army. So I thought, well, Navy sound like a good thing to do.
I've certainly never heard it put that way. Where did you have basic training?
Well, as a physician, you really didn't care if you had a lot of training in the military. I spent 3 days at the Portsmouth Naval Hospital in Portsmouth, Virginia, being given some information about who to salute and how to salute and what type of uniforms I should be purchasing from the base exchange and that sort of thing. So I had about 3 days of basic training.
Well, you would have been a little bit older than some of the recruits and the people that they were getting to join. If you could explain from your perspective, what was going on in the world at that time?
Well, that was right before, actually before we, before it was time for me to be discharged. That was the, was it the three-day war with Egypt and Israel? I think they called it the three-day war.
Not many people know about it.
And had that gone on longer, I wouldn't have gotten out when I did in 68. They would have kept me. Prior to that happening, that was, of course, I have to stop and think a little bit because I haven't thought about this for a long time, but Vietnam was kind of on the downturn then, and I had I remember having one of my classmates and roommates in medical school who actually spent time in Vietnam. So that was also kind of winding down at that time.
What was the training like? Did you have to swim? Did you have to do obstacle courses? Or did they just kind of throw you in and say, here you go?
No, it was just kind of throw us in and here you go. But they did take us up in a helicopter one time. And they said, and they took us out over the swampland there in parts of Virginia. And, of course, I was stationed at NAS Oceana, Virginia Beach, Virginia, which was a master Navy jet base. And whenever the aircraft carriers would come into Norfolk Naval Shipyards, all the aircraft would deplane out at sea, and they would come to NAS Oceana. So they were there training and practicing and such. So if anybody was to go down in the swamps, if you happened to be on call, then you would go out in a helicopter and they would put you down with the harness around you to, check on the pilot and do whatever needed to be done medically. There'd probably be others there too. So anyway, they took us in this helicopter ride. We rode around and saw the swamps out there, and then they didn't practice letting us down in the swamps. They let us down on the tarmac there at the airbase. So you slipped this thing around you, and they dropped you down about, I don't know, it seemed like 150 feet. It probably wasn't that long. It was probably about 100 feet. They let you down on a line.
Were you a doctor prior to going into the military?
Well, I had graduated from medical school in 61 and then had a year of internship, and it was after internship that that I went into the Navy. So yes, I was in the Navy as a physician. I was termed a GMO, General Medical Officer, and we, along with there were five of us in the dependence clinic at NAS Oceana, and the flight surgeons, who were also pilots, they took care of the military. But again, on your night on call or on the weekends when you're on call, you took care of any and everybody.
Did you have any memorable moments?
Several memorable moments. The most memorable was the commander of an atomic submarine brought his child in. It was on a weekend. It was either Saturday or Sunday, to have demanding that stitches that had been placed earlier be taken out. It was well publicized. We had stitch removal clinic every Monday morning. Well, I don't want my wife to have to wait and come in and do that then. You know, you do it now. So the corpsmen who were had talked to him first, you know, they explained to him about the stitch removal clinic. So they finally came in to me in my where I was had my office there, told me the situation, and I figured, you know, if I back down, you know, my name is mud with the corpsmen. So I said, no, this is the policy. Even though I was a lieutenant, and a lieutenant in the Navy is equivalent to a captain in the Army, had two bars. I said, you know, this is the procedure, and we're not going to remove the stitches. So he was, of course, quite livid and wanted the name of my commander and my captain, and so I gave it to him. And so early Monday morning, because I knew things would be happening, I came in and I told the CO and the captain, you know, this is what happened, and this is why I did what I did. And, you know, when I've told this story to others, and I've always said, if he would have come in a nice manner and said, I know you all have a special clinic on Monday, but it's just going to be an extreme hardship, and, you know, I would really appreciate it if you could take these stitches out today. If he would have come with that kind of an attitude, I would have taken him out. But he came in as though he was the captain of that ship, you know, but he wasn't. I was the captain in the medical department that day. So that was memorable. Another one that kind of struck me funny was a mother called one time and wanted an ambulance sent to pick up her son. He had fallen out of his wagon and he skinned his knee. And she wanted an ambulance sent to bring him in to be looked at. And that was a little bit over the top.
Did you have any difficult moments?
None that really stand out. I mean, the confrontation with the sub captain or commander, that was kind of a difficult moment. But to follow up on that, at a later time, he brought one of his sons in to see me in the clinic. So, you know, he didn't let it bother him. we would see a lot of patients on the weekend. And I can remember the most I ever saw in a 24-hour period was 96. And I had a fellow classmate from the University of Oklahoma who worked at another installation down the road. It's called Little Creek. No, I'm sorry, Dam Neck. He saw 104 one 24-hour stretch, and I wanted to at least hit 100, but I never did. 96 was the most I'd ever seen.
And were most of them just minor?
They were minor, you know, colds and coughs and some. And this was the ER thing. But now in the clinics, because we also had clinics. I said earlier that there were five of us in the GMO clinic. Well, one of us would rotate through what we call the pit, and that's where we would see infected mosquito bites and colds and coughs and maybe urinary tract infections and things like that. But we also had appointments, and we would follow OB patients up to like 6 months, and then they would go to start going to the OB department at Portsmouth Naval Hospital. That made it, you know, really kind of like a family practice, because we saw, I saw a retired admiral and his wife as patients, you know, and saw lots of the women and children. Of course, the men, they all saw the flight surgeons on the other side of the building.
What do you think the military allowed you to do further in your career? What do you think that it taught you? What lessons did you learn?
Well, being there for 2 years with, you know, with four others, you know, it did build confidence and improved your experience. You know, if you ran into something that you weren't quite sure of, you had four others that you could call on, and we did. You know, what's your opinion on this? What do you think, and so on. And we could always, refer to the hospital in Portsmouth, which was probably 25 miles away, roughly. After I got out of the service, I had some GI funding that helped fund the family while I was went back and took another year of internal medicine training, internal medicine residency at St. John's in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And you'll have to forgive me, but people in your position, would they have ever been deployed? Was there ever a moment that you thought you would have to be deployed?
It could have happened. I could have ended up on a ship, you know, on an aircraft carrier, on a cruiser, on, you know, wherever, whatever ships they needed a physician on, they could have put me there. The luck of the draw ended up as a dry land sailor.
And you mentioned internal medicine. So what happened after your military career?
Well, as I said, I went back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to St. John's Hospital, where I did my internship, and I spent a year in internal medicine residency and finished that in June, the end of June of 69, came to Carrollton. I've been here ever since.
Were you married at the time that you went into the service, or was that after the service, or did you get married?
No, was married, got married between my third and fourth year of medical school. And we had one child, in Oklahoma City, where the University of Oklahoma School of Medicine is. And we had two while in the Navy. One of them, my son was born at the tail end of a hurricane. So my wife was in labor that day. We had wind and rain and such, and she was starting labor. Well, it was later in the day that she says, "It's time. We need to move." So we had to drive from Virginia Beach to Portsmouth Hospital, and of course you go through the tunnel under the I think it's the St. James River, or one of those rivers up there. And I was worried, you know, would there be water in the tunnel? Could I get through? If I got stalled, would I have to deliver the myself? Well, anyway, we got to the hospital, and she delivered about 30 minutes or so after we got there.
Just in time.
Just in time.
And the other child?
She was, it was Kathleen, that was the second child, second daughter, was born at Norfolk General Hospital a year or so before that.
Was it hard kind of juggling, moving around and pursuing your dreams and having your family all at the same time?
Well, yes, but I was young back then. I could be up half the night and do everything that needed to be done during the day. But traveling with young kids back then, you know, everyone thought that you had to give warm milk and warm Gerber's baby food to your children. So, you know, you'd take hot water with you, warm up the milk, and I can remember we had a 65 Chevrolet, and the manifolds were visible on the cars back then. You don't even know where the manifold is on today's cars. But so to warm the baby food, you could pop the lid. You of course stop the car, and you park somewhere and pop the lid and set the jar on the manifold. And you learned, you know, it took about 5 minutes or whatever. You got it nice and warm, and you feed the baby warm, warm Gerber's baby food. So nowadays, of course, they take it right out of the fridge and plop it in their mouth as far as the milk, and they don't even warm the baby food anymore, or they don't have to.
What sort of accolades or awards did you receive for your time in the service?
Well, I got a nice plaque when I left. They had a little going away party, and I received a plaque that had my name and NAS Oceana on it, and had a jet aircraft going across it and such. I have that hanging on my wall.
Did any of your children follow in your footsteps?
No, they didn't. I have one that was public relations communications. I have that was first daughter. Second daughter was she's a lawyer, but she hasn't really practiced law. She's practiced being a mother and running her kids everywhere. And then my son is a mechanical engineer, and he works for Hallmark up in Kansas City.
Wonderful. Well, I guess the last question I would ask is, what do you think was the most important lesson you learned? What have you taken away from your time in the service?
Well, it takes a lot of camaraderie and working together as a team to make the military and, in my case, the medical services function properly. And so, you know, I think that that's an important thing, learning to work together. You know, you can't always have 100% of what you would like. You have to give and take. And if you're the type of person that can do that, then you can get along with anyone and make any situation that you're in a pleasant one, and one that you can work and live with and be proud of.
Is there anything else that you would like to add? Anything else we didn't touch on?
Well, sometimes late in the evening, I would sit down with the corpsman and discuss things, because they were in Vietnam at the time, and they would tell about their experiences and the wounds that they saw with the bungee sticks and such. But one particular situation, there were three of them walking along down a kind of a path, I guess. They were abreast of one another, and all of a sudden, the center one was gone. And they looked around, what happened? And they looked back, and the middle guy had fallen into one of the tunnels, the many tunnels that they had in Vietnam. And he just had his arms out, and that was the only thing that kept him from falling on in. Well, they came back and pulled him out, and and all was okay. Another time, probably not too many people remember the USS Forrestal. That was a large aircraft carrier, and one of the flight surgeons that was stationed there when his squadron was there. We would talk when we went over for lunch at the officers' mess, and he told about the horrible situation when a powder magazine in the Forrestal accidentally caught on fire and exploded, and it was a lot of injuries and damage to the ship and such. Even though I wasn't in the theater of war, I got a lot of firsthand information.